Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
Listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to the show. Today is Thursday, June 4th. Today is my daughter's birthday.
Oh, that's nice. It's my friend's birthday as well.
And oh, really?
It's Angelina Jolie's birthday.
It is?
Yes.
The things you come up with, I'm telling you, Jen, you know everything. At least about the celebrities, let me tell you.
I guess.
Yeah. You're always right on these things, let
Thanks.
Me tell you. Yeah, somebody should follow that, right?
Well, the news told me, so.
Okay.
I'm just relaying.
So we're back after a badly needed morning off.
Yes.
Yesterday. Not that I caught up on any sleep or anything, but that's okay. There's things to do and places to go and people to see, right?
Yes.
There you go. So, boy, you're quiet this morning.
It seemed like you had something to say, so I'm just waiting to hear
what
it is.
No, I'm waiting for you to talk.
Oh.
Let's carry conversation here.
Oh.
All right, so let's try that. So, we'll start with Uber, I guess, you know, what else? So, I was on these forums. People are flaming me right and left. I decided to leave that, not to look at this. I don't know why I even waste my time on this.
I don't either.
Yeah.
I thought you were done with that as of the other day.
I know. But then people started writing me like personal messages, mm-hmm. encouraging me and everything. Because all I did was post my experience the first day. And you know what? The headline of it was my first day as an Uber driver. It got 3,000 views. I mean, other posts there got like 50, 60. This thing got 3,000 views. So it can't really be that bad.
Yeah.
There were like 120 comments and stuff, most of them telling me what an a-hole I am, that I don't know that I'm going to be losing money on this and you're not going to be happy and you'll find out and all this stuff. It's like, oh, all this hatred, all this like pessimism. It's like I feel like I'm... Like it's tarnishing me or something, you know? It's a terrible feeling. So I thought, I'll just leave this. So then I went back and read, and of course there's more condescending stuff, and I just said, yeah, I don't need this. My experience is different.
Right.
You know? So what I did find out yesterday, Jen, is not to drive during the day. During the week.
Why?
Well, yesterday I was in Hollywood. I ended up in Hollywood somehow. And then I picked up a guy who wanted to go to LAX, to the airport. That's a drive that would take maybe 20 minutes. Took us an hour.
Mm-hmm.
And the traffic is just like... I mean, I don't go on freeways that much. I haven't in a long time. And now I started again with Uber because people take you through the freeway and stuff. But... It's, you just don't enjoy it. You know, I mean, stop and go traffic, I can fall asleep in that.
Yeah.
Luckily, we were talking, it was a German tourist, and we were talking and stuff, which was nice. But still, you know, and it's like, you waste more time. They pay by the mile, not really by the time.
Oh.
Yeah.
So it's not like a taxi that's like by the time.
Right. Oh, well, they do figure some time in here, but I can't see how it's that substantial at all because I compared it to other trips. And so, yeah, just think about that, you know. And you learn new things all the time, but it's a lot more pleasant. I mean, I like driving during the day, but it's just not practical.
Yeah.
You can't accomplish anything like that. And it's funny because I came back and the traffic was even worse, so... My GPS was telling me to get off the freeway and take another, like a shortcut. And I said, nah, I'll just go the way I think. So I thought I was smarter than the GPS, and it ended up taking me 20 minutes more than it would have if I followed it.
Right.
Yeah. I was stuck in the canyon in Beverly Glen.
Which GPS do you use?
Waze.
Well, you should use that. mean, yeah. You should listen to it if
I know.
You're using it.
I know.
It's crowdsourcing actual information.
It is. And it's very reliable, too, let
right.
me tell you.
I mean, I turn Waze on going the same direction every day because I want to know if there's
traffic
and I want to know if there's a better way to go.
Right. That's the important thing. It considers traffic where a lot of GPSs don't.
Right.
So, you know, and it adjusts itself as you drive.
Right.
Right? And you get stuck in like in traffic jam and the time's
yeah.
going to yeah go up. And so it's in real time, like you said. You know,
right. And it'll even tell you like the next 9 minutes you'll be in stop and go traffic.
Right.
It will tell you that. So
right.
you know to prepare to be in traffic for 9 more minutes.
Right. Exactly. But I mean, it will still tell you, it will be accurate. It's only when you get there and the traffic gets even heavier
right.
that it has to increase its time. Because the great thing is that it figures out your arrival time considering traffic.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I like that. And by the way, it is an Israeli company that made it.
Oh, I know.
Just let everybody know, lest people think the Israelis can't do anything.
I don't know that they think that, but when you go to Israel, the first thing they do tell you is what they've invented.
Yeah.
I remember driving.
Well, they're proud, you know? Yeah,
totally.
It's a small country.
And they're very proud. And they've made some great things, so they should be proud. But it's like funny because it's like, you know, we invented that.
Right.
And we invented that.
Right.
And over there, we invented that. Okay. Cool. Good job.
Yeah, well, you know, they want credit where credit is due.
I know.
What can I say?
I know.
I'm proud.
Yeah, you didn't even invent Waze.
No, I didn't invent.
And you didn't use
but
it yesterday, but.
Yeah, but I'm, yeah, I use it, but yeah. You should definitely follow your GPS, if
yes.
it's Waze at least.
Right.
Yeah, even if it doesn't seem logical. It didn't seem logical for me to exit where it told me to. But then again, so much for logic, right?
Right.
The reality is I haven't driven in traffic in years.
Right.
Really. I try to avoid it. So, how are things going with you?
Good.
Yeah?
Yep.
Doing a lot of stuff? Two drunk girls?
Well, Lauren's away for 2 weeks, and I'm cat-sitting for her.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh.
So.
Do you like cats?
Yes, I do.
Okay, good.
Hers is a little finicky.
Really?
But he is my godson, so I have to take care of him.
Yeah. It goes without saying.
Yeah. The first night he threw up.
Wow.
And
on
then,
the carpet or something?
Yeah, and then last night he was fine.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. See, that's the problem with animals. But, you know, I got to tell you, man, God bless all these people that devote their time to animals, you know, because I got to tell you, somebody has to.
Right.
You know, they show you all those, like, commercials on TV, you know, for animals that are being abused and they need a home and all that stuff. And you go, wow, you know, I mean, these really look like they need some attention, you know. I mean, these dogs, mainly dogs, you know, because they don't show a lot of cats being abandoned, although there are many.
There are lots.
Right. But you look at a dog, I don't know, on a cat you can't really see sadness, can you? I can see it on a dog, though.
I don't know.
The eyes.
Cats sort of just have one look.
Yeah.
But I actually have a girlfriend that runs an animal
shelter.
Well, not a shelter, but it's a dog rescue. We should have her on, and she can talk about it.
Yeah, yeah, let's. Because did you see this thing with the dog that they whose muzzle this guy taped shut?
No.
You didn't see that?
No.
Wow, that was a terrible.
No,
I mean, I
can't see things like that. Like, I need to know that they exist, but it really hurts me too much to even see.
Yeah, yeah. And you look at the dog and just the look in its eyes, I mean, my God.
Sad.
It really is. And, you know, the I mean, people are cruel. Yeah, I mean, people are cruel to, like, babies. I mean, so it's no wonder people can do this to animals. It's just that what, you know, how screwed up do you have to be to abuse an animal?
Really
you
screwed
know?
Up.
You really have to be screwed up to do that. And that's pretty pretty lousy.
That is.
You know, so
really
they
sad.
Arrested the guy. And, yeah, it's a 15-month-old dog.
It's really sad.
Yeah. So so they're taking care of her and stuff. They're saying that she'll probably be okay. They thought the dog would lose a third of her tongue.
Oh.
Because imagine, you know, they probably closed it shut on her tongue or something.
This is painful.
Yeah. Okay, well, we won't get into that.
It makes me sad.
But it's good news because she'll be able to eat and lap up food and water. No
oh,
problem.
Good. Okay.
Yeah. So they arrested the man.
Good.
And, yeah. He's, yeah, I don't know what it is. But at any rate,
yikes.
That's the situation with animals. So, you know, I mean, I understand when people devote a lot of time. But people have to remember, you can't put animals before people, you know. And some people are like that, you know. It's like they have no people skills, and they'll put an animal before. But I think, I don't know, in the scheme of things, I think human life is more precious than anything, you know. I mean, we eat animals, you know. So, I don't know. I mean, if you had to rescue a person or an animal, which would you rescue?
Do I know the person?
No.
And I know the animal?
No.
Oh. I'm sure I'd rescue the person. But that doesn't mean I would really want to. I would do it because it's right.
Right.
But the animal I'd probably want to save.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's like you have to, it's like Sophie's Choice type of thing,
right?
You know, well, who do you choose?
Like,
to die?
I mean, I have questions now. Like, why can't the other human save themselves? Why am I saving them? Like, is the animal helpless? Like, who's stuck further?
So you got to analyze.
This is not
drowning.
A simple question for me. It's not just like a black or white. It's like, well, I have two legs and two arms. Why don't they move and help? And why don't they save the animal? Why do I have to save them?
Well,
why aren't they saving me?
Let's say they fell in the water, okay? They were on thin ice and they fell in the water.
I don't like hypotheticals.
Okay. Well, it interferes with your thinking? Or
no,
what?
Because there's just no real answer. but I will read a funny comment on Instagram to you, and it's sort of the same way. Uh-huh. It's the same idea. So, and this explains me a lot. Somebody posted, like, there's all those, like, funny accounts on Instagram, like, the fat Jewish and fuck Jerry and daddy issues, and like they always post funny comments. So one of them posted, and I reposted, I'm not a ride or die chick. Do you know what a ride or die chick is?
No.
Okay, it's like when like a guy will be like, oh, my chick's like ride or die, like she's down for anything, like she's got my back.
Okay,
sure, whatever.
All
it's
right.
A stupid concept,
right.
So the thing says, I'm not a ride or die chick. I have questions. Where are we riding to? Why do I have to die? Can we stop to get food? Why didn't you like my picture? See, I have questions. Like,
yeah,
I can't
you do
just,
have questions.
I can't just be like, oh, yeah, I'll save that person.
So you can't accept the meme the way it is. You have to question it.
Well, the meme questions itself.
Yeah.
So.
That's the thing.
Yeah.
So. Well, that's good. You got to question and question authority, too.
Exactly. I mean, yeah. I'm not going to just, like, do it.
Right.
I got to know what's in for me. Like, I need to, like, really survey the situation.
Right. Which makes sense. I mean, you're an analytical person. You're organized. You like making lists and stuff. You like to know what to expect.
Yes.
So, yeah, nothing wrong with that, you know. But if you see a person drowning, don't do too much thinking. Just,
no, I'll save them, I guess.
Save them, yeah.
Well, what if I drown too? Then two
no,
people are
you won't
drowned.
Drown. You're on the bank.
Oh.
In a few minutes, we're going to have a guest calling in. Her name is Diane Collins, and we're going to talk about a concept called quantum think. So that sounded pretty interesting, so we'll talk to her in a few minutes.
I will say this. So I had a thought this morning that I lost my bracelet, and my bracelet had an evil eye on it. Lauren and I each got each other one.
Really?
And it happened because Lauren lost hers. And so she was like, now I need a new one. What if I'm not protected? But I can't buy it for myself. Somebody else has to buy it for me. So I was the person that had to buy it for her.
Oh, is that how it works?
Yeah. You can't protect yourself. Somebody has to give the premise of protecting to you. Right. So then she bought me one. I bought her one. We're both protected. Okay. Mine fell off yesterday at some point. So I was like, I'm not protected anymore. But it's the whole theory behind it is if it falls off, it protected you and you don't need to be protected anymore.
Right.
It protected you in whatever it was that it was protecting you. But I was like, you know what is an interesting concept that I am so upset about my bracelet being gone because I'm like, I had faith in this bracelet. That the bracelet would protect me. We're kind of like people have faith in their religion.
Right.
That their religion protects them and that whatever they believe in protects them.
Right.
But it's like, okay, well, now my bracelet fell off. That doesn't mean I'm going to go kill people.
Yeah.
Because I lost faith. or that my bracelet's not protecting me anymore. Like, I think that it's like, if you have religion and you believe that your religion protects you, just believe it.
Yeah.
Don't go kill people.
Yeah.
Just trust what you have.
Absolutely. I agree. Well, I had to let you finish the thought, so I didn't answer the phone.
Oh, no.
Let's have her call back. No, but it totally makes sense what you're saying.
Yeah. You know? I'm also not going to go buy bracelets for everybody and be like, you must believe in the bracelet.
Right. No, exactly. But if people believe what they want to believe.
Right.
You know? So let's go ahead and take the call now. And Diane Collins, are you with us?
I am with you.
Thank you very much.
Great to be with you.
Thank you very much, Diane, for calling in. Where are you calling us from this morning?
I'm calling from, is Jen on?
Yes.
Yes, Jen is on here too.
Your hometown.
Miami Beach,
Florida.
I saw you actually went to UM, so did I.
Wow.
I did.
What a small world.
Yeah, I read that about you. So I'm actually in Sunny Isles Beach, which is the northernmost part of Miami Beach.
Uh-huh.
So it's very close to where my mom lives.
Oh.
Wow,
great.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Have you lived there all your life? Diane?
No, I grew up in Shrewsbury, New Jersey, and my grandparents lived on Miami Beach, so I've been coming here every year with the family since I was three, and let's not say how long ago that is, but I fell in love with Miami, and so I begged my parents to go to University of Miami, and except for a short year in New York City, I've been here ever since.
Wow, very cool.
Cool.
So, obviously, you like it there. It's interesting how many people move from the Northeast to Florida. You know,
yeah.
I have an entire family there, and they're all in New York, and they're all in Miami now.
Yeah.
You know, because of the weather or whatever.
Migrate.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it's nice. And, you know, some people don't, they, thank goodness, they think it's too hot in the summertime and they leave. Uh-huh. But it becomes, you know, very quiet. But yes, it is. And, you know, when you're quantum thinking, there's something called, it's called morphogenetic fields. And where there's a certain, you know, when you say something like, I really resonate with that. There's actual reality to the physics of it, to the physics of mind and the physics of what attracts. And so I think that probably has something to do with it, where, you know, it becomes like a whole energy field, and people get attracted into that more easily.
Wow, very interesting. So now, so for those of you listening, we're talking to Diane Collins. And you can go to DianeCollins.com, D-I-A-N-N-E. And you talk about quantum think quite a bit on your website. So tell us what it is. Introduce us to the concept so we can follow.
Okay. Love to do that, Sam.
Okay.
Well, I'd like to, you know, kind of approach it this way. We all have to deal with our own mind, young or old, rich or poor, black or white, male or female. We all are basically living in the reality of our own experience, and that has to do with the relationship with our own mind and our thinking. Now, we never, you know, because thinking kind of is one of those things that comes naturally, as part of being human, right?
Right.
That
well, for some people don't think much.
That's right. That's what I like about you, Coach. I was listening to some of your shows. I was thinking, thank God, people who actually think.
Well,
you know,
thank you.
Think,
what a
mean, in other words, thinking means a distinction that I make in quantum think is being able to distinguish between thoughts that are just automatic patterns from the past or from the surrounding mind field, thoughtosphere, I call it. Like we have a biosphere, we have a thoughtosphere. So a lot of the thoughts we have aren't even our own. But that's going back to what I was going to say about it, is that we don't really learn to have a conscious relationship with our own thoughts, with our own patterns, habits, and in terms of quantum think, system of thinking. So we're now in a quantum age. We're in this digital age. We're in this 24/7, you know, beyond the limits of ordinary chronological time and physical space, which makes this show possible. and all of our amazing technologies and social media and the rest of it. And we're in a very different kind of a culture today where pace of change is accelerating, where there's increasing complexity and, you know, infinite choice, and where, because we're in a time of transition in humanity in general, that every day there's some kind of uncertainty going on. And this gives all, so we're in this quantum age, but our thinking, without realizing it, is still very much influenced under what I call the old world view, lovingly, the industrial age world view. And we don't realize that our habits of thinking are really based in the assumptions of whatever the prevailing beliefs of the culture are. So the scientific belief in quantum think is a system of 21 principles and practices for the mind and awareness that basically gets us thinking in sync with the more cutting-edge, up-to-date knowledge, and learning to use the faculties of mind that we never learned in school. Because the industrial age, they said, only matter is real, only physical matter is real. And so our entire orientation and education is around that. We don't learn about the power of intent, how to use your intuition, what is subtle energy, how we can convert energy, tune into energy to make, you know, immediate, quick, quantum think, nanosecond decisions. And this all has to do with our relationship and knowing the faculties of mind. So this is what quantum think is an actual system. Like, I thought, well, wait a minute. Why does the world still look the way it does? Why does my life? No, my life is great. But, you know, a lot of people are in this question today, is like, just even more basically, how do I reach a state of equanimity, a state of calm, regardless of what circumstances are going on around us? So this is what it is. It's an expansion in thinking. It's an awakening of thinking beyond the conditioned old world beliefs that are no longer relevant or even accurate.
Right. And, you know, I mean, it totally makes sense, you know, because yesterday I was thinking how fast things are, you know, how much time we used to waste before the digital age, you know, like for example with GPS. I mean, how much time would we waste just finding the address we're going to? And today we're so smart, you know, everything that we have cuts our time in like no time. And I think
there's more efficiency.
Yeah. And I think that's why we do more, but we drive ourselves to the ground, you know, with all this.
Well, you can, unless you learn how to think. And one of the principles I call distinctions in new thinking, in quantum think, is cause, named beyond time. We don't have even a word for it in our culture. But there is a state that, if you look at it this way, that there's a state beyond, there's a state that underlies chronological time. So chronological time, the ordinary time that we use to measure and to keep appointments and keep planes flying on time and all the rest of it. So the subtitle of that chapter is From Tyrant to Tool, because it's exactly what you're talking about, Sam, where if you're functioning only in chronological time, then you're like being pulled by it, you know, like you are flotsam and jetsam on the sea of life. You're just, you know, all over the place and trying to huff and puff and keep up with an accelerated pace. Right. But if you're quantum thinking, you connect to that state that is, I can only use the word because there's nothing in it in the English language I know of, that's literally beyond time, that state where when people say they're in the zone, or when you're like 100% fully present, engaged in a conversation or in whatever you're doing, in your work, in a sport you're playing, whatever it is, in those moments where you have no awareness of the clock ticking. And in that state, you could say we're engaging our meditative faculty. That's one of the five natural faculties of mind that I distinguish. And in that state where you say you're centered, you're focused, you're calm. And so in today's world, because of this, you know, amazing complexity, we really need to think in sync with that state so that we don't drive ourselves crazy. And you know what drives me crazy is when, speaking of driving crazy, is when people say, oh, you know, people are addicted to the technology, or the technology is good or bad. And, you know, this is part of what is it to go from industrial age thinking to quantum thinking? Well, one aspect of it is to go from the either-or mechanism that runs rampant in conversations, in the media, the conservative or liberal. You know, it's an outcome of that limited old worldview assumptions of thinking that we don't even realize it's silent and, you know, invisible in the background, yet shaping the way we think. So what drives me crazy, I was saying, is when people say, oh, you know, we shouldn't use technology, or it's too much, and blah, blah, blah. But if you're in command of your own mind, you go to the both and. So that means that you can consciously make decisions, make choices of when to use the technology, of the best way to benefit from it, of how to integrate it into the whole of your life so that it doesn't seem like some separate entity that's like either an albatross or quote, an addiction. So all that type of thinking is what you get beyond when you expand into quantum thinking. It's not even a factor. And it just looks, you know, you reflect back on it to yourself, and it just looks primitive. So it's not making anybody wrong, Sam and Jen and everyone. It's what, in fact, I say in the beginning of my book, Do You Quantum Think? Maybe there's nothing wrong with us, you know, because when you assess how human beings have been with one another since the beginning of recorded history. And I heard you both talking. I thought it was a really engaging conversation the other day when you were talking about religion and religion being born of a different age. And that because we become entrenched in old patterns and beliefs and ideas and assumptions without questioning, that it just starts to shape us. It's like a default pattern, you know, in your computer. You turn it on, or your cell phone. Are you going to go with the default settings, or are you going to, you know, customize it to your own? And this is what we have to do today with our thinking, because many of the things that we have been brought up in, so I say maybe there's nothing wrong with us. Maybe we've just reached a stage of evolution, a stage of human development, where we're ready to take a literal quantum leap in the way that we think and start to really look at our own relationship to our thinking system, the assumptions we're living in, and be able to make more prudent choices.
Yeah. Well, obviously, you know, you make people think about thinking, you know, and that's, you know, yeah. So, Diane Collins, the book is Do You Quantum Think? New Thinking That Will Rock Your World. I see you can get it anywhere, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, so forth. The website is dianecollins.com. That's Diane, D-I-A-N-N-E. And you can find out more about this. Now, I see you also have study groups and you do consulting and so forth. So I see you're obviously doing a lot of stuff there in Miami. So
a lot of stuff all over the world, actually.
Really?
And, you know, let me just invite everyone. The latest thing, I work with my husband, Alan Collins, Master Quantum Think Coach. We've actually been doing it. I trademarked Quantum Think in 1997. The book came later. But so we have, you know, all kinds of leader clients, whatever, a lot of different things because we like variety and I like entertainment.
Yeah.
And so the book is meant to be entertaining. But I want to invite everyone into the LinkedIn group that we just started called Quantum Thinkers, Leaders and Coaches Learning to Quantum Think.
Okay.
Come on in.
Yeah, cool. There you go. Sounds interesting. Well, Diane, thank you so much for enlightening us this morning. This is definitely new things.
I want to read the book.
Yeah, new stuff.
Great. I know you would both love it.
Yeah.
You're thinkers, and you're going beyond, and you're really creating, and I would love for you to read it,
yeah.
Actually.
Well, thank you
if
so
you
much.
If you send me your address, I'd be happy to send it to you.
Yeah. Oh, great.
Yeah, we'll
will.
Let you know. Thank you so much, Diane. We
okay.
appreciate that.
Okay, thanks for having me. All the best.
Of course. The same to you. Take care. Yeah.
Don't
yeah.
forget to send her our address.
I won't.
I want to read it.
I won't. I know you like this stuff. It sounds a lot like Candace, right? Candace Silver.
Yeah.
Where she makes you question your thinking, the way you think.
Yes. And I mean, that's obviously like a lot of what I believe in. I believe in like, you know, logic and yeah. how you think and energies and adjusting the way we think based on the times and so this to me is fascinating.
Yeah, there you go. You would be Mr. Spock in another world, right? From
I don't know.
Star
I've never
Trek.
Seen those.
Star Trek.
I've never seen.
You know,
them.
He always talks about this is illogical,
right?
You know, so he's like because he's from another planet and they don't have emotions or anything.
Somebody last night called me a robot.
Really?
Yes, at dinner.
Oh God, that's a
which
too much.
I don't know that it's untrue. So maybe I am.
Yeah.
I forget why they said that, too. We were sitting. Oh, they were talking about the movie Ex Machina and compared me to a robot in that movie.
Really?
We were at a friend's birthday dinner.
That's
and
funny.
So, yeah.
But maybe that's a message for you to, I mean, from the people that know you.
No, they weren't saying it in like a bad way.
No. But so, I'm not saying it's in yeah. a bad way. But what I'm saying is maybe you do need to get in touch with your emotions more. Or
no, but
heart.
they weren't saying that no? it was about that. It was more that like, I forget. I'll need to ask them and I will tell you why they said that. But it wasn't yeah. like that I wasn't in touch with my emotions. It was more like the way I thought something or like the way I said something was very like,
yeah,
robot, then you're a like, robot.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to find out.
Yeah.
I will. I'll get to the bottom of it.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, it makes sense, you know, I mean, that in different times we need to think differently. And, you know, that's the thing. It makes you question how you think in the first place.
Yeah.
Because our thinking is really, that's what leads to the way we feel. And if you know how to think about what's happening to you, you probably would feel better.
Yeah.
Yeah. So now, before the call, we were talking about, you mentioned the...
My bracelet.
Your bracelet, that's right. So I wanted to go back to that.
Yes.
Because some people may not know what the evil eye thing is.
Yes.
And so this is a Jewish custom to wear this thing, and it's got like an eyeball.
Yeah.
Right? It looks like an eyeball.
Yeah.
And it's on a bracelet. You can wear it around your neck, too. And... It's supposed to protect you from evil spirits.
Yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. So you're saying that Lauren started being concerned when she lost hers?
Yes.
Mm. So you gave her yours?
No.
No? I thought that's what you said.
No.
Okay.
Sam.
You're not going to give up yours, huh? Oh, wait a minute. No, one has to buy it for the other.
Yes.
Okay.
So we okay. each bought each other one because Lauren right. needed a new one.
Right.
So... I wasn't just going to buy her one. I was like, well, you're going to buy me one if I have to buy you one.
Right, exactly.
So that happened. And then.
So you have two now?
What? No.
Oh, you lost yours?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, so she lost hers and you lost yours.
No, now she has one and I don't because mine is missing.
Okay.
Which means that what people say is that if it falls off you, that it has protected you and now it's no longer needed.
Oh, okay. Well, that's a good thing then.
Yeah, but
you don't need the protection.
It could also just be a euphemism, like when people say that it rains on your birthday and that's good luck.
Yeah. Well, it can be a euphemism to say it protects you from evil.
Right. I'm okay with euphemisms. I'm not mad at them. I think they're great. Because really, if like you could either think positively or negatively, and if you're going to think positively, that's great.
Yeah.
So yes, I apparently was protected from what I don't know, and I no longer need to be protected.
Right. But at least you felt protected, and that's the important thing. You
right.
know, the meaning we put on things.
The whole point is that it's having faith in something. So whatever that thing is, I think it doesn't matter, as long as it matters to you.
Okay.
And like I was saying, I wasn't going to go buy a bracelet for everybody, because just because I believe in the bracelet doesn't mean everybody should believe
right,
in it.
Exactly.
Lauren and I happen to believe in it. Does every one of my friends believe in the bracelet? Probably not. But like right. that, I think, goes to say, like, it made me realize and think about, like, in a whole, like, people pushing their beliefs on other people. And what you have faith in is a personal thing.
Yeah.
Am I going to chastise other people for not wearing a bracelet? No. Am I going to kill them for not wearing the bracelet? Definitely not.
Right.
You know? So I think it was like a microcosm, but of the macro, which is just believe in what you want to believe and leave everybody else alone.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So. And that was my post about Caitlin, that let her do whatever she wants to do. I'm happy for her. But enough of shoving this in my face. It's too much. It's too much. I really don't care about it. I mean, what I care about is what ISIS is doing. And everybody should be concerned about that.
Yes.
You know, I mean, they caught another guy, right? Another lone wolf that ISIS took the credit for in Boston. So
I'm glad they caught him.
Yeah, me too. Me too. Now they cut off the water to some towns, apparently. And people saying, well, they're not succeeding. Well, you know what? I think they are. So a lot of residents had to flee because there's no water.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. I just can't imagine living in a reality like this.
No, it's so crazy.
This is hell on earth.
It doesn't seem real, because how could it be in this day and age? Like, it just doesn't seem imaginable.
You're right. You're right. It's beyond imagination. And I think that is the point. They're trying to scare us to death.
It seems like a post-apocalyptic movie.
Right, exactly.
Where, like, these like bad Mad guys are, yeah, it yeah. just doesn't seem like reality, because it's when we're living the way we're living.
Yeah.
And we're free to, like, make a radio station and talk about whatever the hell we want to talk about.
Right, you know. I mean, this is, like, something that even Al-Qaeda are don't want to associate with ISIS because they're too cruel.
Yeah.
I mean, come on, you know. It's like Al-Qaeda who killed 35, you know, almost 4,000 people at 9/11.
Yeah. If they don't want to be associated, then.
Yeah, then you know this is like beyond hell, man.
Yeah. Yikes.
This is beyond hell. And but let me tell you something. When people compare them to the Nazis, not quite similar, because the Nazis did not advertise their atrocities. And ISIS
right.
wants everybody to know this is what we do. And you better succumb to us or else. And that's the thing. So
well, I feel like the Nazis, yeah, I mean, I guess they did want to go under the radar, but
yeah, they did. They had a machine. They had a well-oiled machine.
But they
for
also
killing
killed
people.
Way more people at this point.
Right.
Not to say that ISIS won't get there, and let's hope that they don't, and we right. can figure this out before then, but
yeah. They're not as powerful as the Nazis were, but
they're getting there. I mean, they're yeah. they're.
I hope
growing.
The world doesn't allow this. I don't know. Anyway, let's see what else is going on in the world. I guess Rick Perry, former governor, or is he still governor of Texas?
I don't know.
Well, maybe we should look, right? So we can be a little accurate here.
Right, we can be informed.
I mean, he ran for president last election and did not win, and so he's launching a comeback bid. So he spent 14 years presiding over Texas, so I guess he's not anymore. But yeah, so he is running. So I mean, the Republicans now have just about 1,000,001 people running.
Yeah, I mean, are there always this many people that run?
Sometimes, yeah.
You know what? It's that I usually in my former years, I guess. I mean, it's every 4 years, so really I was younger each time. But I never cared as much until it was the final group.
Yeah, but these are like the primaries.
Right, and yeah. I actually do care right now. So, and I think it's probably also working in news and you know, being a host that
being
has
more,
really brought
more,
my attention
more involved
to
in it.
Yeah, like I actually care. I also care now because I'm an adult.
Right.
And I have to deal with things like insurance, my health insurance and things like that, and gas prices and ISIS.
Right.
And
Yeah.
All of these things. So
now, what do you think of we have like the what they call the Electoral College, right? You know what that is?
Yes.
Right. So the question is, do you think that is a better way than popular vote? In other words, popular vote is when they count all the votes, and if you know, and based on that, a person gets elected. But with the Electoral College, what they do is, if let's say if California, like you know, wins by a margin or something, then it gets like a few delegates, mm-hmm. you know, but based on its size and everything. But it doesn't really represent the votes. In other words, notice how in California, we're always the last state, you know, because of the time zone too.
Yeah.
But we also don't matter. We never matter. Because by the time it gets here, it's too late. They already decided.
Right.
You know? So that's what sucks about it. And I don't know. I mean, I love our system, and I think it's well thought out. But this, the Electoral College, I think they have to think about that.
Well, what I don't understand is when we're voting on a federal election,
right?
It's not by the state. It shouldn't be by the states. If you were voting for a state election, it would make sense by the state.
Right.
But because we're voting as individuals for our country's president, I don't know that I want my vote associated with the other people in California.
Right, but that's exactly what happens. I mean, California leans left, and that's what happens.
Right.
People don't even bother voting because you know that the left's going to win. Now, you know, I'm not trying to take sides here or anything, but it's lopsided in California. That's why nobody ever cares about what we think. So you go to vote, and you go, nobody cares anyway. My vote is not going to matter.
Well, it makes me feel good about voting.
Yeah.
Because I also don't believe in diffusion of responsibility. So, like, if I didn't vote, then I'd be like, well, I did nothing.
Then you can't complain about what's
exactly.
going on. Yeah.
Like, I will vote, I will wear my sticker, and I will post it on Instagram.
Right. And then you can complain because you say, hey, I tried.
Exactly.
I'm involved with this.
Also, the place I go vote is really cute. It's like a house in West Hollywood.
Really?
It's a really
It's always
cute
the
place.
Same one?
Yeah. Well, no, I don't know, actually. We'll see.
Yeah.
Probably. It's the voting center.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, yeah, sometimes they change them because it's private houses usually. You know, sometimes they have it in a library or something.
Yeah.
But, or a church. But many times it's in someone's garage, yeah. I know that's the way it has been in our neighborhood.
Oh.
Yeah. So we'll see. You know, I mean, it's going to be a big election, man, because there's a lot of stuff going on in the world. The president is a what they call a sitting duck because, or not a lame duck, because he's not going to be elected again, so he can sit back and do nothing,
right?
And you know,
well, but they usually focus on what they're leaving behind, like their legacy. So now that's like passing certain bills, like the trade bill and all that,
right? Well,
I found out why I was called a robot.
Why?
Because I said a dirty word, and I don't normally say them. But they, like, at dinner were, like, forcing me to say it. They're like, just say it. So I said it, and, like, they could see how uncomfortable I was in saying the word. It was, like, so unnatural. They're like, you're a robot. It's not programmed in your system. So you said it, like, very oddly.
Yeah, not connected to the word.
Right. Like, you know when Waze will say a street name, but it says it the wrong way?
Right.
It's because it's programmed in its system, and it's not, like, a word it knows.
Right.
So that's what happened.
I see.
It wasn't
okay.
that I personally am lacking feelings, which I am. That's not true. I cry at commercials and I cry at happy endings.
Right. So it's just outwardly probably, right?
No, it's just that to me, life is very logical. It is or it isn't. Like, I don't feel about things I don't need to feel about. Mm. Like, you know, and like, this is my best example only because it's something I've experienced, but like in business, you send an email. Like, let's say somebody doesn't, like, put punctuation and they don't do something right. You respond and say, you didn't do this right. That's because that person didn't do it right. There's no feeling there. You did it or you didn't. You know? Like, or did you send something by the time it was due? No. Well, then you didn't. Like, there's no, like, I don't like you because you didn't do it on time or you're this kind of person and so I'm telling you you did it wrong. Because you're that kind of person. No, you actually just didn't do it right.
Yeah, and that's business.
Right.
Yeah.
But like, so I think like that in the larger scale of life.
In your personal life.
Right. Yeah. Like if somebody's not on time, Well, you're not on time.
Right.
You are not a punctual person because you're not on time. It has nothing to do with the way I feel about you. Uh-huh. I mean,
you just stated a fact.
Right.
Yeah.
So, like, there's a lot of people that cannot handle facts.
Right.
So it's then I don't know what you're doing in your life. But
yeah, exactly. I mean, people don't like being criticized, but come on, you know.
Here's the thing. It's not being criticized when it's true. I feel like being criticized is like when you're being picked apart, like by somebody's opinions.
Right.
Like my opinion of you, I would be criticizing because I'm saying like, well, you're flaky and you're not a good person because of that. Or like it's more like opinionated, I think, when you're criticizing somebody versus saying you are actually this.
Yeah.
You literally do not show up places on time.
Right. And you're late, period.
Right.
They can't deny that.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm like, it's not an emotional thing. It's a fact.
Yeah.
So if that makes me robotic, I'm sorry. I live in a world of facts. Sorry. Maybe I should have worked in science or something.
Well, it's never too late.
Yeah, it is.
Or write a book or something.
About what?
About what you've learned in life. You know, how to approach things.
I think other people have written those books.
So?
I'll rewrite it.
But other people are not you.
True.
You know, it's just like when people come to host shows here and they go, well, do you have another real estate show? Do you have another sports show? It's like, who cares? The show's going to be different because it's you.
Right. True.
It doesn't matter what the topic is.
I'll write it then.
Okay. Yeah, you do need to write.
I will.
You have a lot to say.
Well, I thought I was covering all of that with all the shows I host.
I know, you said that. But the thing is, not everybody maybe listens or watches.
To every single show I do.
Exactly. And you want to reach people that like to read, maybe, you know, and are interested in that. You don't have to make a physical book if you don't want to. But today, it's doable.
Totally.
You can do it.
Well, so yesterday, I sat down and I was thinking about, like, my blog, and I want to bring my blog back. And I was writing down some posts I would write about, like, just topics. And then I would expand upon them and then post them. So one of them was the topic of what I want to write a book about. So I, like, wrote out, like, all of these tips that I would have. And it was like 18 tips. I'm like, oh my God, I need to just write this book because I have plenty of content.
Yeah.
So maybe I won't write it as a blog post.
Yeah. Yeah. Write it maybe as a journal or something and then put it together.
Yeah.
Or like essays, whatever.
Right. I mean, if I broke it down and did a little bit every day. I do it. I do my voice recordings. I just have to transcribe them.
Yeah. That's true. Hmm.
I'll do that.
I, for one, would read your book.
Thank you.
Yeah. No, I mean, you have a lot to say and, you know, and you think things out, and which is more than a lot of other people do. They don't think things out at all. but like to yourself, do you feel that you're in touch with your emotions?
Yes.
With your heart?
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
So it's just... to outwardly.
Well, the thing is like, I mean, if there's something to be emotional about, I'm emotional about it.
Right.
I'm also more emotional about things than like some people would think.
Really?
Where it usually throws people off. They're like, well, why are you sad right now? What do I do with that emotion that you're having right now?
Right.
You're supposed to be strong all the time.
Right.
And I am, but like if I see, I love stories. So like if I'm watching Say Yes to the Dress and people at the end of the show get married, I cry. I also cry when somebody wins The Voice because they're so talented and like to me that's beautiful.
Whoa.
So I love those moments.
Yeah,
like real success. And I like, to me, a struggle doesn't make me sad. I like you know how on those TV shows they'll like put the story that's like the one that's overcoming something,
right?
No. Yeah. A beautiful voice and winning The Voice makes me tear up in emotion. Because I'm happy for the person.
Yeah.
But not just because their mom was killed in a car accident or suffered from cancer. Like, I'm more just impressed by somebody's pure, raw talent. Because to me, that's beautiful. Like, how did that person get that voice? Not everybody has that voice.
That's true, yeah.
That to me is so... like, that's fascinating to me. Something that cannot be explained. Otherwise, it's logic. And then I just work through it in my brain.
Right.
But that I can't understand. You're born with that voice. Not everyone was.
Yeah.
So it's beautiful to me.
Yeah. So do something with it, you say.
Well, all right. Sure.
Yeah. Well, okay. Well, today's Thursday, folks, which means we're closer to the weekend. And great show today. We thank Diane Collins for calling in. And that's it, Jen. We'll see you tomorrow.
Great.
listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, right here on LA Talk Radio.